If you don't have a Bible, please go and get one. The verses will likely come on the screen, but it's really good to follow along. And in Kintore, we don't have the verses on the screen, so I've been really encouraging people, bring a Bible. It doesn't need to be a paper one. You can get loads of free apps if you've got a phone, a smartphone, or a tablet. But bring a Bible along and follow along. It's really worth doing that. Sometimes it can be a little passive if all you're doing is hearing me read the words, or even if all you're doing is sitting looking at the screen. It can breed a passivity in us, and there's something good about following along. So if you don't have a Bible, there are some at the back. If you don't have one at all, please take one of those home. But we're journeying through the Bible in these last weeks, and it's now 4 weeks in that journey since Colin Ross led us through the story of creation, and we wondered at the amazing power and glory of God in creation. We saw how God spoke and the world came into being. And we watched, if you remember, that amazing video from the crew of Apollo 8 as they read the account of creation from near the surface of the moon, as they watched the so-called Earthrise, and they read this amazing story. And one of the things that's so wonderful about the Bible and this series that we're going through is that we are invited in to consider these most profound and huge questions of wonder and meaning. We're invited to gaze into the heavens and consider these remarkable things. I watched a video yesterday about the Hubble telescope and the amazing scale of the universe that it has revealed. In that video, it said, if you hold a ballpoint pen up at arm's length into the night sky, the tip of the ballpoint pen is the area that the Hubble telescope has. I think it was 1995 it first started doing this, and it's developed over to 2005. I'm not sure. I think they have begun to retire that project, but the Hubble telescope is examining the portion of the night sky at the tip of the ballpoint pen, which is about 1/2 millionth of the night sky. And they have found that within that area, at the tip of the ballpoint pen, it has revealed some 10,000 galaxies in that relatively tiny portion of the night sky, each galaxy containing billions of stars. Our galaxy alone contains between 100 and 400 billion stars. And there are 10,000 such galaxies that the Hubble has perceived in this ballpoint tip area of the night sky. Just too much for us to get our heads around. Well, in our passage today, Abraham is invited by God to lift his eyes again to the heavens, to consider these things. But this time, the focus is not the wonder of creation itself, but from Genesis 12, which is a significant turning point in the story of Genesis, and indeed in the story of the Bible, God focuses in on his heart to draw together for himself a people through whom would come blessing into the world. Amazing. So let's read from Genesis 12. Last week, we looked at the Tower of Babel, and for the rest of chapter 11, after that story, there is a genealogy traced to a man named Abram, who is journeying toward the land of Canaan. So let's pick it up from verse 1 of Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, fast forward through some mess of the rest of chapter 12, which we will come back to, and turn to verse 14 of chapter 13. Says there, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot, that is Abram's nephew, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. And then turn over to chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. After these, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And there are other ways in these chapters from Genesis 12 to 21, I think, where just God time and time again reiterates this covenant, this promise that he is making to Abraham. He says to Abraham, look at the dust. Try and count the dust. Look into the stars in the sky that the Hubble telescope has just begun to perceive. And God says, so will your people be. And the message is just the same message that we've heard time and time again in these weeks. The story is not over. Despite all that we've seen, despite rejection of God in Genesis 3, despite sin and the marring of God's beautiful creation, despite murder and turmoil, despite God's judgment coming, despite continued pride and rebellion, the story is not over. In fact, what we see in these chapters is that the particular story of God's ultimate redemption of all creation is only just beginning. That's what is happening in Genesis 12. God has chosen for himself a people who will be blessed, a people who will have an inheritance, a people through whom all the nations of the world will know God's blessing. This is good news. In this world we live in, which is full of uncertainty and pain, yes, but also just full of the kind of day-in, day-out, mundane realities of life, as we're confronted by the immediacy of the tasks that we're required to fulfill just as we go about. I know that some of you hear us speak about the highs of life and the lows of life, and you kind of think, well, actually, my week's just been normal, and that's okay. But this is good news into that context as well. Sometimes we have to choose to tune in to these most profound promises of hope and blessing. And this is one of the things that I love about church. I love about the community of faith, because we are a community of faith who walk together through the normal things of life, and who, as part of that journey, purposely set aside times, like this morning, where we can come and reorient ourselves on these strong, profound, lasting realities, which then we hope will inform the day-to-day normalities that we encounter through our week. And here in this chapter, we're drawn into good news. We're drawn into the beauty of God's heart to give to a people, to bless them. Verse 12, verse 2 of chapter 12 again. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. This is the formation of a family chosen by God, a family which is then set in motion to participate in the heart of God to give to others. God gives to them, and then they are to give, to be a blessing to those that they come into contact with. We recently had a special birthday in our family. Lindsay hit a certain number last Sunday. I pondered to myself what jokes I could get away with talking about this moment, but I'm going to pursue wisdom and kindness and, well, frankly, self-preservation, and avoid any such jokes, keep my mouth shut. But it was a special birthday, and somehow, through various plans and arrangements, Lindsay managed to milk this thing big time. She managed to have her first birthday meal a week last Wednesday, and then her birthday celebration went on at various points for the next week and a half. And it's actually been a lovely 10 or 11 days as a family. It has felt so good and right with different friends and different families and different contexts to soak together for a week or so in an atmosphere of giving, in an atmosphere of celebration. And for Lindsay to receive that, to receive many kind words and kind gifts, displays of love that Lindsay has shared with other people who have then, in these last days, had an opportunity to reflect back some of the love that they have felt from Lindsay, to reflect that back to her. And it's been a precious time of celebrating friends and family. And I've been reflecting that this is what we were made for. We were made for that sort of celebration. We were made for that sort of community of giving and receiving. Such moments are a glimpse of something. They are a taste of the much deeper longing that we have for the Genesis 12:2 family that God desires to form among us. To know, as it speaks of in verse 2, to know what it is to be blessed and to live with safety and security in that sense of inheritance, to live with safety and security in that context of blessing and to pass that on to other people. We were made for that. And that's why moments like I expressed there and that we've experienced as a family feel right and good. It's why holiday occasions can, not always, I know, holiday occasions with family and friends can feel so natural, can bring such joy, can lead our hearts to overflow with fullness and a sense of this is right, this is something I was made for. It's one of the reasons why Tesco and Asda start putting out chocolate Easter eggs the minute Valentine's Day finishes. Now, of course, we can be as cynical as we want, and of course, they're in it for profit, but what are they doing? They're tapping into something, a universal desire to celebrate one another in community, to live in a community of blessing, of joy and love and peace. These are just glimpses of what God wants to call us into. And it's in this pivotal chapter in Genesis 12, pivotal not just for Genesis but for the whole Bible, that we have this good news set before us that God is forming a family of blessing who will then themselves be a blessing to the nations. But there are things that get in the way of us experiencing this and cherishing it and embracing it. There are things that get in the way of us truly knowing this deep, lasting reality of the blessing of God. Blockages to blessing, you might call them. And I can think of five that I'm going to mention just now. The first one is that we ignore God in our city. We ignore God. We just cannot miss the fact that it is God who calls this family into being. God is the source of this blessing. This point follows on from last week's passage, because if we're honest, this concept of knowing the blessing of God is not one that is understood or desired or highly esteemed or longed for in our culture. We, like the people of Babel, are inclined to find safety and peace in ourselves, not in God. Remember the verse 4 of chapter 11? They said, this people of Babel, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. This is the modus operandi of our culture. Let's be safe and secure in what we can do, and let's make a name for ourselves. Oh, wow, I saw this yesterday in the most stark way. Me and Bethany sat and watched a recording of the Brit Awards. And fascinating thing to analyze with your 11-year-old daughter. Sit and talk through it all together. And Robbie Williams closed that show out, and his song at the end, it's called Love My Life. And as far as I can understand it, these are words that he is hoping his daughter will say to him one day. This is the chorus. I love my life. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am free. I love my life. I am wonderful. I am magical. I am me. I love my life. It's just so close, but so far. Because yes, we can love who we are in Christ. We can celebrate who we are in Christ. We can celebrate the wonder and the beauty that we see in one another in Jesus Christ. The testimony of the Bible is clear that we were made by a Creator to enjoy life, to celebrate life with our Creator. And those words just can seem so far off, right? Because, I mean, it's just so few people who are privileged enough to be able to celebrate in their own life in those words. Does Robbie Williams know the pain and suffering that there is in the world? But even if we are privileged enough to feel that sense of warmth and connection, even with the most stable, positive, loving family or community environment over the course of a long, peaceful life, the truth is, without God, we're missing out. The blessing of life with God is incomparably sweeter. To know and to be known, to love and to be loved by our Creator God. That is what this world is all about. The endless greeting card aisle cycles of celebration will not satisfy. We are hardwired for more, to be known and blessed by God. Life with God. And a life with God, a life apart from God, will not satisfy also, because neither will it deliver the security we long for, because ours is an eternal story, which again, the testimony of our heart just begins to whisper to us over and over again. And God's heart is that we would know the good news kindness of Him with His family, not just for a few score years on this earth if we're lucky, but that that would continue into eternity. That is the heart of God. But so often we ignore our Creator God. And I just want to plead with you, don't do that this morning. Come to Him, acknowledge Him, lay your life before Him. Because here in Genesis 12 and following, we see that there is no need to make a name for ourselves as the people of Babel desired to do. God's plan will not be thwarted. God's blessing will not be blocked. Here in Genesis 12, God in His generosity, God is making a name for His people. We don't need to make a name for ourselves. God is making a name for His people. Come to Him this morning. Please seek His blessing. What we see in these chapters is that Abraham and his wife Sarai, then Sarah, have many other struggles that must be overcome before they can truly know God's blessing, other blockages to blessing. The second one is this: fear and cowardice. Through these chapters, this couple, they just stumble along. And the first stumble is one of evil, self-centered fear and cowardice, self-preservation. Genesis 12 from verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. So you have here in Genesis 12 just this horrific, selfish, evil act, right? Straight after God's promise of blessing, Abram is fearing for his own life and will do whatever is necessary to avoid putting himself in peril, even giving up his own wife. And the exact same thing happens again in Genesis chapter 20. At this point, God's covenant has been confirmed time and time again. We read three different passages in these scriptures, but there are more by the time you get to Genesis 20. And straight after God puts a timeline on the birth of his son Isaac, in chapter 18, Abraham is told it will be within a year that your son comes. Right before the account of Isaac's birth, Abraham does the exact same thing with this king Abimelech. Verse 2 of chapter 20. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, King Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Just awful. But both times, God rescues Sarah from these situations. God's plan will not be thwarted. God's blessing will not be blocked, even by fear, even by cowardice, even from self-preservation. I just want to say, whatever you're fearful of today, God can overrule, God can redeem that, God can pull you out of that circumstance, God can overcome that. Whatever feeling of self-preservation might be bubbling up right now, God can overcome that. His blessing will not be blocked by whatever fear or concern you're feeling just now. Self-preservation is a strong impulse, and so is the third potential blockage to God's blessing in these chapters, which is self-determination. My contention earlier was that there's something inside all of us that wants to know this communal life, to be part of a family that is blessed and that shares that blessing. So the question is, well, how do you find that life? If that is true, that we all long for that, then how do we find that? Well, one option is to walk into the magazine aisle rack of your local store and pick an area and pick a magazine and find some answers there to find that sense of fulfillment and peace in life. So whatever that might be, right? Financial management, fitness, hobbies, career, family. And to use these as ways that we can build for ourselves peace and hope and life and blessing. But so often things don't go right. And when that happens, if that sort of worldview is turned up to 11, then there can be devastating consequences. And that's what happens to Sarai in this passage. Despite the promises of God, it isn't happening for her. And she takes matters into her own hands. So verses 1 to 6 of chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Before now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go and sleep with my servant." Frankly, I prefer the way the NIV renders it than the ESV here. "Go and sleep with my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace." And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. "May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. I mean, my word, just another horrifically awful story. Here's the point. Do you see God's patience in this and his determination for his promises to come to pass, even against this horrific backdrop? Sarai was so desperate, and desperate is the word. She is operating out of a place of deep pain here. We don't want to make light of that. But she was desperate to know not the true and full blessing of God, but she was desperate for her urgent desire to have her immediate needs satisfied. She was desperate for that to come to pass, that she was willing to do whatever it took. So she took matters into her own hands. Here is my encouragement and my plea for you on this. Dear friends, beware the pressing desire to have your immediate needs satisfied. Even if it seems that that is the path towards securing the peace and blessing that you think God wants for you, how blind we can become to what is the blessing that God wants for us. I have many years ago sat in a room with a man who sat opposite from his wife, who was in tears, who had two young children, who was crying out to be loved and cared for as it was promised to her that she would be. And he just basically said in that room with Lindsay and I there, "I'm done. I'm done. I want this, I want that, I want the next thing, and she's getting in my way." How blind we can be. Beware the pressing desire to have your immediate needs satisfied, even if it seems that it's a path towards peace and blessing. There is another way. God's way is not always straightforward and easy. It may feel slow. It may feel painful. It may feel impossible. But seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and all of God's blessing will be added to you. Don't take things into your own hand. Don't pass up the blessings of God for whatever glitters before your eyes, which will last how long? A week? A night? 50 years? How blind we are. Oh God, by your grace, help us see clearly the blessings of God. God should give up, right? I mean, we've seen this already in Genesis. God should, did you ever feel like that? Why does God stick with me? There is hope for this man I mentioned. There is hope for me in my sin, disgusting as it is. And there is hope for all of us here. God should give up, but his plan will not be thwarted. His blessing will not be blocked, even by our sinful self-determination, and even by that which seems impossible, because the fourth blockage to blessing, potential blockage to blessing, is apparent reality. The apparent reality for Abraham and Sarai was, there is no blessing coming. God is a liar. God doesn't have anything good for you. Not mainly because of their behavior, horrific though it was, but mainly that apparent reality existed because Abraham was about 100 years old, and because Sarah had never been able to have children and was now old herself. You see, sometimes all these other blockages can maybe not be in place. So sometimes we can keep God at the center of our lives. Sometimes we can live confidently, trusting him. Sometimes we can defer to God's plans for our lives rather than taking matters into our own hands. But still, there can seem impossible circumstances that would cut off God's blessing for us. So it would seem. But the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac is that God's plan will not be thwarted. His blessing will not be blocked. So we come with faith to believe that God is who he says he is. That if we seek first his kingdom and its righteousness, that yes, all these other things that God has for us will be added to us. Now, I cannot promise this morning anyone their preferred answer to whatever prayer is most urgent in their lives this morning. But I can promise you that our God is strong, and that his love is a perfect love, and that his wisdom is a perfect wisdom, and that his timing is perfect. I can promise that he, as Psalm 84 says, is a sun and a shield, that he bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Can you trust in God today that that is true, that not one good thing God has withheld from you? Not one good thing. He will not give you a snake. He will not give you a serpent. He will not give you a stone. He only ever gives what is good and right for his children. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Know the blessing of God today and trust in God, because this brings us to our final blockage. And with this, I close: the blockage of unbelief. Through all of this mess of Genesis 12 and following, Abraham believed God. From verse 1 of chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abraham, go, verse 4, so Abraham went. And in Hebrews 11, the great chapter on the faith of God's people, this is highlighted, and the fact that Abraham did this, even though he didn't know where he was going, is lifted up as an example of great faith. And Sarah, actually, also in Hebrews 11, is credited with faith, which enables God's powerful miracle to take place in their lives. And when God calls Abraham out to look at the stars in the sky, that his offspring shall be as numerous as they, it says in verse 6 of chapter 15 that Abraham believed the Lord and God counted it to him as righteousness. His faith in God, his belief that God was who he said he was and that he would do as he said he would, this brought about a gift from God. Abraham was credited with something. Something was counted to him. Righteousness. He was seen by God as righteous, though as we have seen, he was far from righteous. In James, we are told that Abraham is called a friend of God because of this faith that he trusted God in. Though he acted like nothing of a friend towards God, God looks upon Abraham as a friend. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 4 and Galatians 3 makes clear that if we just believe as Abraham did, then we are brought into this family line, part of this family of blessing that God sparks into life in Genesis chapter 12. We will know the same blessings as God promised Abraham. For those who believe God, as Abraham did. Those who believe that through Abraham's family, all the nations of the world would be blessed. How? Well, because in the genealogies that we read in the Gospels, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was one of the descendants of Abraham. Jesus who died and rose again. Jesus who invites us into that victory that we were singing about earlier. This family of blessing. Jesus who invites us to join him in his place of honor at the celebration of heaven. This is what we were made for, to be part of a community and a family of God with endless celebration, to know the deepest and most profound blessing. God's plan will not be thwarted. God's blessing will not be blocked. He is forming a family who even this week can taste of the blessing of God, who this week can share that blessing with those that we come into contact with, and who will one day know in all its fullness the eternal blessing of God. Once and forevermore, we simply have to believe. Now, don't get me wrong, such a belief changes everything. We will never be the same. It's not always easy. But we just simply have to come and believe. Will you believe that God is calling you as part of this family of Abraham, as part of this family of blessing. It's so encouraging to me that his plan will not be thwarted. His blessing will not be blocked. And we just pray, right, as our little family of faith, that we would see some of this here in Aberdeen, that we would see the family of God grow. There are lots of empty seats. There are lots of our friends and family who are seeking to build a tower of safety and security, a tower to heaven, to no sense of joy and peace and hope, a sense of wonder, I think. But we don't find that in our own bricks and in our own buildings. We find it as we know that we don't need to make a name for ourselves, but we are part of the family of God, and we have his name. Blessed. Blessed children of God. Let's pray. I'm just going to leave just a moment of quiet, and my question is, will you come and believe that there is a God, and that even today, in light of the death and resurrection and reign of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Spirit, who alone opens our eyes to see Jesus for who he is, that this God is calling you into this family of blessing. Will you trust in that God? Will you come to him? Will you come in faith and have that faith credited as righteousness? Holy Spirit, please draw us to yourself. And if you will come, just say quietly, just in your heart and in your mind, I come to you, God. I come to you. Thank you, God, for your grace. How we have wronged you. We can relate to the mess and the sin and the pain and turmoil that we read in Genesis 12 following. We see it in our own lives how we have wronged you. So we just cast ourselves again on the grace of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you that your plan will not be thwarted. Your blessing will not be blocked. Thank you that you call us blessed children of God. Thank you, you invite us into the very throne room of heaven. I pray that we would be a family of faith that knows that blessing, that rejoices in it, that celebrates it, and that shares that blessing with those we come into contact with. May it be. If you said, I come to you, God, for the first time this morning, I just would strongly encourage you to seal that by sharing it with someone you came with. It doesn't need to be me, but I would be so thrilled to hear from you. But with someone you came with, but seal that moment, seal that decision this morning before you go.